confidants, welcome back to another episode of Confidently Insecure, oh my God, I've had two coffees. The podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. And this is a fun one, you guys. This one is actually one that I'm like not nervous about. I'm walking in with a happy, good attitude. There's no like trauma attached to it. I'm really jazzed because I have one of my favorite TikTokers. Yes, I said TikTokers. If you're a confidant, you know that I have been talking about nothing but TikTok every episode here and there somewhere. My guest this week, his name is David. He's known as Fotivational Speaker on TikTok. David, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for agreeing to do this.
Thank you for having me. I'm very, very excited and also slightly terrified because I did zero research so as not to taint myself.
Oh, that's good.
Be a very, you know.
Yeah, no, that's actually really good because I feel like sometimes people get a little scared if they watch episodes prior. One, because, shit does get kind of like real here. And the whole point of this podcast, though, was to ask the questions people are too afraid to, but with the understanding that like we're all human and trying to do our best, and this is like a knowledge based podcast, right? And obviously, like, I'm a cis white female, I don't know a lot of shit, and I should be asking questions. So I am the catalyst for that. But I want to start with, first of all, I love your fucking TikTok. Did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that you were going to become such a big deal for motivational speaking on TikTok?
I don't know about the big deal thing. TikTok, I had no idea about TikTok like most people. My fiance had got on TikTok. She's in advertising, so she got on TikTok really early
because
it's a job. And she's like, oh, and she was just showing me mostly lip sync stuff like years ago. And
right.
I was like, oh, yeah, all right, cool. But when quarantine came, it was just like everybody else. I was like, well, let's see what TikTok is.
Yep. That was literally the same. I was like, Musical.ly is so stupid. It's children dancing. I have no relation to that. And then it turned into a whole other beast, I think, in the last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, do you like, are you a motivational speaker? Like, is that your job? Like, are you a therapist?
No. I am not. It's so weird to say actor by trade, but I'm an actor.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff that's on my TikTok just sort of was a natural occurrence over the last few years. Just due to my spiritual journey. And I'm technically a certified spiritual life coach, but like,
what?
Technically, but like, it's not something I'm pursuing or very curious about just yet, but I really got it, the certification, so that to protect myself, to be like, hey, like, because I know people feel a certain type of way about certain things.
So, well, mental health talk, as we call it, is like, mm-hmm. You get it. It feels like it's black and white, and I don't like that. Where it's like, it's one thing where you're getting doctors and psychiatrists who are talking professionally, and then you get people like me who are like, this is just what I've been through, so here it is. And then like, you represent this beautiful gray area of being like a coach who's also been through it, who gives out this advice that feels so professional.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, you know what, I say this on a lot of the lives I do. I really do kind of sort of stay away from the advice game, mostly because for me, I do just say like, this is all from my experience. I'm literally, I have someone who like I had to sort of block today. It's a weird space that I'm still navigating, but he's very sort of into this idea of this sort of objective, like this is the thing. This is the objective rule thing, whatever. And he was kind of jumping to my comment section. And it was on like one of my more talky back and forth videos. And I'm like, this isn't really about that. And I know a lot of them seem very much like, oh, like this is him giving me advice. And it's like, I would prefer people to kind of see them as like, this is a diary entry.
Wow.
This is just my experience. If it resonates with you, it's because I'm basic. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, drag yourself 2020.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not, I'm not, so I do stay away from that. And I find that the handle, even motivational speaker, is a nod to something that I know from a kind of a dialectic spiritual weird state, but something that one of my teachers always says is like the opposite of everything I say is true.
Whoa.
And I take that very seriously because it's like, there is a certain point, I believe, in everybody's spiritual journey where I know personally I can make a compelling argument for any side.
Okay.
And once I kind of hit that, I had to be very mindful of what I was doing, but two, I just had to be okay with being wrong about a lot lot of stuff.
Ooh.
And
that's humbling.
That opens me up to be able to share experiences with myself, with other people and stuff, because it's like, I'm not telling you that this is the way. This isn't the
thing. Right. Right. Your TikToks do a really good job of that. I want to play just like one or two of my favorites, because for the confidants who aren't on TikTok, which like, what are you doing? Get on there. Or don't, like, save yourself many hours of mindlessly scrolling. Or, you know what? I'm arguing with myself at this point. I will stand by that TikTok has taught me more about life than fucking school ever did. On David's page, you do this beautiful thing where you do this back and forth of talking to yourself as characters, right? So you've got sort of the motivational speaker on one side, and then like you, aka like what we all like, it me character on the other side. So I just want to play like a couple of these that I really like. Okay, let's see.
It's the emergency. I'm pretty sure I'm a piece of shit. Feel like you're taking on a lot? It's probably a healthier description. Seesawing between an intuitive state of what you want to be doing and a reactionary state of other people's expectations of you? Yes. And spinning all those plates as you identifying with oscillating states of anxiety, panic, and depression? Yeah. What do I do? Take a deep breath. What would you tell yourself right now? Oh, so we're all avoiding our responsibilities today? Do it. Fine. I'd say, notice the areas of your life where you're adding meaning, and it'll help you not turn every event into a crisis. Good. And as I grow and change, the boundaries need to grow and change as well, and setting new ones doesn't mean I'm a bad person. There we go. And journaling and writing down goals can help me process any disempowering thoughts, as well as identifying if what I'm doing is mine or somebody else's. While it's okay to be spinning a lot of plates, it's important to know only I know what plate needs to be spinning right now, and to trust that and to trust myself.
Okay, so that's just like one, right? And sort of like the format that you do is this quick back and forth, right? So you're correcting yourself. You're sort of like Jiminy Cricketing. You're holding up a mirror to yourself. And the shit that comes out of your mouth. First of all, like production-wise, how the fuck do you script these out? Or like, do you script these out? Tell me your process.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I write a script. And it's usually kind of insane. I recently saw a TikTok with this girl who did, it blew my mind. She's like 10 characters at one time or something. And I was just like, this is insane. And my fiance is like, you can't do that. And I'm like, why? She's like, 'cause you'll drive me crazy. Like you can't do that. So the process for me is, I mean, I could probably streamline it, but it's just, I have an idea, write the script, tweak, 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 and then just I'll film one way. And because I am the actor, improviser in me, sometimes it'll get out of hand and I'll be like, oh, like this is funny. And I'm like, shit, I gotta re-record the entire thing and go back and back. And usually, like most things, I guess, I discover things in editing that I was like, oh man, that's way more interesting than I initially meant it to be. But yeah, I tried to make a bit of a challenge for myself to try to do, you know, one a week, because they are a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it tends to work out. So we'll see.
Yeah, it tends to work out just a little bit, like hundreds of thousands of views. But how did you learn how to talk so fast? Because you have 60 seconds. You're giving us a dose of like a therapy session, essentially. And you kind of like cut through the bullshit. Like, it's kind of like people go to therapy and they realize that, like, most therapists aren't going to give you answers. They want you to just, like, kind of figure it out and be, again, like a mirror to yourself. And, like, that's what a good therapist should do. But sometimes I'm like, just tell me what the fuck I'm supposed to come up with. Like, what's the conclusion here? And I feel like your TikToks do that. You know, even just like the thing you said about boundaries, that, like, as you grow, your boundaries are going to change. And I feel like that's such a small but powerful statement. And I'm all about, like, taking away just those little tidbits that I can regurgitate back to people. And I feel like that's, like, your whole entire, like, shtick. So I guess, A, how do you talk so fast? And B, when you're coming up with, like, your script and your content, is it really just kind of, like, reflective of something that you're going through?
So I talk so fast because I just talk fast. The reason in acting and, like, theater and stuff, TV, film, can't speak that fast. I can't go that shit crazy. Just blah, 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 blah. Like, I've had casting directors, acting coaches, directors be like, yo, man, you got to slow down.
Slow down. Unless you're, like, Dear Evan Hansen. I don't know if you're a musical theater nerd, but.
I haven't seen that yet, but I really want to.
He talks very fast. But, like, that's, I'm like, oh, that would be my dream role, is just, like, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. Right?
But, yeah, slowing down is, like, silence is powerful when I'm acting, but not in TikTok.
Right. So I guess part of, I guess, TikTok, and I'm sure you can attest to this, is it's a very, like, lean into, like, your thing. Mm-hmm. And I've always spoke, like, I think I've been speaking for a long, long time. My mom was like, she claims she was, like, doing some kind of weird baby Einstein thing, but she's like, you were talking before everybody else, like, aww, full sentences. And I was like, all right, but I do speak at a pace that is a little insane. So yeah. I was like, what if I lean into that fully? And it was just, it's fun for me.
Yeah. Like, I can only imagine how many takes you do. Like, do you bite your tongue and, like, fumble your words? Because that's
so many, so many wow. takes. I have a voice teacher told me, one of my acting teachers, to give me this cork, that I do a cork exercise to kind of loosen the jaw and all kinds of little things. It's like this big wine cork, and I'll say the lines and try to be as articulate as possible with the cork in my mouth, so that when I'm actually doing it, it can come out a little smoother. But there are some days where I'm trying to force it, and then, like, we're at home, so my fiance, she's at work right there, and I'm like, babe, can you just I gotta,
it's,
like, check.
It's a process.
It's a process, babe. Chill.
I need my creative space.
You know? But, I mean, honestly, as far as where they come from, yeah, they do come from a lot of the time stuff that I am going through, but mostly it's stuff that I've kind of gone through. Mm-hmm. And something will come up and remind me to get back to myself, and I'll go, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. this is exactly like this one thing. And a lot of the I guess it's going through and gone through, because a lot of it is just, it'll come back.
Right.
Like, the way that I communicate, with my fiance, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's, you're doing that thing that we know that's not helpful. Stop doing that. Like,
I have to ask, what's your sign?
I get asked this so much. I'm like, I'm ready. A Capricorn sun, Taurus moon, Scorpio rising.
Whoa. Okay. That's good. So you're hardworking and passionate, which is good. And I feel like your TikToks represent that, where, you know, like, the other one I love is the, like, couples therapy one, where you talk like how people just talk, but then, you know, like, your Jiminy Cricket voice chimes in and kind of teaches you not to go off of your first thought, right? Like, my therapist always says, like, first thought is the worst thought. What matters is what your second thought is, right? Like, I can have all the, right? Like, the first intrusive thoughts, like, just have that. That's human. That's, like, instinct. That's survival. And then the second thoughts that come up are like, okay, now here's, like, caveman brain is gone. Here's, like, rational side. And I love that both of your characters play that. So, like, getting a little bit away from the production creation side of it, because we're both creators and, like, obsessed, let's talk a little bit about spiritual journey, because I write a little bit about this in my book, which I'm definitely going to send you one, by the way. It's a mental health workbook. But I talk about how, like, Western culture really gentrified the idea of spirituality. And, like, I know we can't blame Madonna for everything, but, like, I just remember it starting with her talking about, like, Kabbalah Trumpism or whatever.
Yeah.
And Kabbalah. Then like, yeah, like Gwyneth Paltrow jumped on the train. And while I do believe probably a lot of these people have real honest connections to their spiritual pathways, like you can't but help eye roll a little bit when it's like now they're selling yoga mats with like their fucking face on it or whatever. And so I guess like, what does a spiritual journey mean to you?
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Yeah, no, that's a lot. Let's think. I don't know. There's a lot there. There, as far as I think you and I, because you're in LA, like you're in the West Coast, we have a unique experience with this idea of spirituality. So I think that lends itself to some stuff. But as far as the spiritual journey goes, I think it's just a normal journey, first and foremost. I think this something that, and I'm referencing the hell out of her today, Jesus, she's gonna love this. Something that my fiance likes to remind me of was something that somebody said in one of my lives, which is just like, when did you become aware that you were on a spiritual journey?
Whoa, yeah, that's what I want my question to be.
Right, like when did you become aware of that, which is interesting because it's like it stretches it out to the idea of there is certain kind of sort of big milestones in your spiritual journey where you look back and you go, whoa, it's always been this. It's always been leading to this moment, these moments.
Totally.
And so noticing that for me is really helpful in opening it up to everybody and knowing that everybody's going through this. I think there's the temptation that we all have. I think it comes from sort of an over-identification with form and the knowing ourselves only in relation to things outside of us. The idea that, you know, spirituality is something to be gotten and it's mine and I have it and it's something to do. I love, you know, all of the badass dudes that I, and ladies that I rock with, all talk about it as a homecoming, and it's something that I've experienced in my life, and it's like it's more of a stripping away of this sort of coming back to yourself. I think I have this old video where I'm like, you're already a lot of people, especially on the West Coast, it's the seeker mentality, right?
Right.
It's like,
Gonna say the fucking secret I feel like ruined and brought forth so much.
Right.
About it's like gosh, what you said about spirituality is so true. It's something to be had and gotten. And like, that's kind of what I mean about the gentrification of the idea of like having spirituality is like, you either think of like religion, which I totally did grow up like in a Southern Baptist church and understand like that kind of spirituality. And then I think of like Eastern, Indian, like Hindu or Buddhist, like you think of, oh wait, no, this is like super cultural that like I am now being woke to, and I don't think that's true. Like what you said is so beautiful because it's like you're on a spiritual journey your whole life whether or not you're aware of it. Is that
I think so, and I think it's just sort of the nature of just you're gonna get weird the nature of sort of consciousness as it progresses. It's sort of, I think last month I hit up Sadhguru's book and he has a really great way of looking at it, which is just, it's like a natural sort of longing for this expansive knowingness of as yourself, as sort of everything. Sure. And we're all sort of kind of going on this journey. But I think to your point though, one of the things that I like to do on my page, and I have other videos with like where I reference pop culture, I talk about Drake and like anime and stuff. And I think that's important because I want to just bring all those weird mystical concepts and make them, it ain't that serious. Like, I joke on like one of my, like my lives. Cause it's a real turning point when I think you understand that you can make a spiritual system out of just about anything.
Wow.
Like you can sit, we could sit here and I could be like, oh man, let me tell you about this microphone. Like we can, and I can do a whole, write a book tell you, it's all about the mic. It's
coffee,
just,
microphone. Yeah.
I could do a whole thing about that. It's not about the stuff. Mm. It's about you. It's about what you, like, coming back to yourself. And whatever that is for you, mazel. Like, cool.
But, like, okay, I'm so on board with everything you're saying. And I also don't know what the fuck some of it is, in the sense that, like...
Copy.
No, like, that's how I can tell you're a production person, because you say copy and I say copy for everything. For confidants, it just means, like, got it, I understand, or, like, I heard you. My boyfriend listens to all the, like, mind hacking, biohacking, like, oh, God, who's the name of all the guys, all the podcasts he listened to, where it's, like, expanding consciousness, like we are all one with the world. And for a long time, it really freaked me the fuck out, because it just made my anxiety spike. I don't know why, but like, I think that idea of collective consciousness, we are all one, again, like it sounded so, to be that you had to like move down by the river in a van and like be a hippie who smokes weed, and like, I could not equate that with the like boss bitch lifestyle that I lived with. Now, of course, like as pop culture has expanded, we see people who are like CEOs who are like, no, I meditate every day. And people are like, oh, okay, there's something to this like connection that anyone could do it. It doesn't feel so stereotypical anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think what you touched on was the idea of like coming back to yourself. What if you don't like yourself or like who you've been?
That's interesting.
Like
that's exciting.
It is exciting. It's a little messy, right?
Right. No. And this is it. Like so many, I feel of. It's such an interesting thing because. In order to not like yourself, right? Mm-hmm. It requires a separation from what is happening right now.
Go on.
Right? Like right now, David and Kelsey are having a conversation. That's all that's happening.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not thinking about the time you did that stupid thing in middle school where you thought Britney Spears was the shit and it didn't work for you. Like you're not thinking about that. We're just having a literal conversation.
Right.
In this moment.
In the present.
In this present moment. So much of the techniques and the stuff and the whatever is really for me about an opportunity to just be here, right? And this is the tricky thing, because people go, well, like, you know, I did some dumb stuff. Like I did some dumb shit back then. Like, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that, right? But becoming, I don't want to say skilled, but maybe skilled. Yeah. Having fun with being here allows me to go, it immediately begins to recontextualize all of that old shit, right? And now, you know, one of the trendy spiritual words that I'm not the biggest fan of is shadow work. And it's this idea that you're, you know, dealing with your unconscious shadow and parts of yourself that you don't like. Right. And you're sort of transmuting that into light. And I'm not a huge fan of that. But for the purposes of just explaining this, I think once you coming into being here, your most truthful, authentic self. Well, now when I look back on the parts of me that I was like, oh, this is terrible. Like, I think it happened over a long period of time. But I was allowed to become curious. And I think
so important.
Becoming non-judgmentally curious as to everything that you are allows you to see and understand, perhaps maybe from a dialectic perspective, that there are going to be really helpful parts of you and really harmful parts in everything that you do. Mm-hmm. Nothing's ever going to be completely one thing.
Impossible.
It's like, impossible to just be like, oh, like I got this is the right answer. I'm only bad. I'm only good. It was the finale of The Good Place. It's not a spoiler, but Chidi writes himself this letter, and he's like, "Yo, man, like there's no right answer." And that's challenging for people. But I think once coming into now and dealing with what's happening right now, and then also accepting the fact that like it's gonna be what it's gonna be. now I can become curious about, like, oh, this thing that I did back then, yeah, there were, it was some shitty things. Maybe I should give that person a call, maybe apologize if that resonates with me right now. But there was also, it's also what led me to write now. Did you watch, what is that fucking TV show? It's the, that We Can't Have Sex show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. It was like that. I know what you're talking about. The one where they get married. No.
Right,
the one where there are a bunch of hot people on the island.
Yeah. Wait, no. I'm thinking about Love is Blind. I'm thinking about
Love
the other
Blind.
One.
I'm
thinking about
Love is Blind. I love that one.
Love is Blind literally has so... The reason that show I feel like worked is because they found sort of genuine people who were genuinely kind of looking at being the best version of themselves. And that one girl who everybody ended up
hating,
right?
Yep.
She's actually a friend of one of my friends, which was
a
bar. I was like, wait, this is hilarious. But the one girl, I thought she was so amazing because she came back to that that little panel, that after show thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The thing that you could tell she was doing was like, she was like, yo, look. Do you any of y'all regret anything? And everybody just kind of looked at her and she's like,
at her.
Right? But she's like, no. It led me to this, right? I wouldn't have known. I would have had no clue if I didn't watch that.
It was a reflection. It was such a reflection.
And I thought that was great.
I thought that was great too. And can I ask, like, I guess I'm thinking about that, like, instance and, like, some shit on like on a personal level of like if you have done wrong or like if you have been a shitty person and you could be like, well, it led me to be who I am today.
I know where you're going.
It's like you were a dick, like you did that person wrong, or like, you know, I try to not live with regrets, but of course there's things that like I would love to call an ex up for and be like, I'm sorry, that ex just probably doesn't want to hear from me. Okay, mm-hmm. And it's more of like releasing my own guilt. So I guess like, is there a way of releasing self guilt? And I'm trying to separate that from shame, really like guilt without involving other people, right? Like it's really easy to be hard on yourself. I think a lot of us are born with that monologue of
well, I don't know if we're yourself. I don't know if we're born with it.
We learn it. I would say that's probably shaped, right? Yeah, like we're shaped by that. It's like really easy to be mean to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I guess, is there a way to hit that spiritual journey of really wanting to learn how to be that present person without like completely neglecting maybe parts of you that feel shameful or... that have a lot of guilt attached to it? That was such a loaded, convoluted question.
No, it's great. I think it's something that a lot of people, so I know I definitely like kind of struggled with that. It's this sort of idea of something that people, it's a term called spiritual bypass. This idea that like, oh, I can just...
bypass. I love that.
Like you can just like, oh, like everything's love and light now. Like you've seen it. It's like everything. Yeah. I don't know. Good vibes only, y'all. Like,
like I went to Thailand once.
Yeah.
And now I only peace. And you're like, Sarah, did you do the work?
You're not nice right now. You're still really mean.
Yeah. It feels inauthentic, right?
Yeah. But honestly, it's it's a natural part of the process, right? Mm. There's a really great book by this guy, Chugai. It's called Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism.
Ooh.
And I can't say his name well, and I should just Google it, but I'm lazy. His name is Chogyam Trungpa. That's not how you say his name. It's called Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism. And he talks about this stage and where you're sort of amassing a bunch of junk and it hasn't really settled into you and you're still going to your spirituality to fix things. But back to your question, as far as not neglecting sort of essentially the idea of people want to be like, oh, like I'm absolving myself of any wrongdoing. Like that's not me anymore. Something I found in my life is that like, yo, first, if it's something that you just, you feel compelled to just be like, hey, this didn't sit well with me. I just feel like I want to, you know, apologize, whatever, involve you. I think by all means do that. But if it, as far as it being just about you mm-hmm. and letting go of that guilt, mm-hmm. I found for me, I don't know if guilt is necessarily a something that's helpful. And I mean that, I know that's weird because it's like, there are certain evolutionary things that, like, I think a lot of the time that guilt is put into children because right. they think that it's going to keep them alive because kids right. are dumb. Yeah. Like, don't go in the street.
Don't put that in your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but you can't feel guilty and be working on the betterment of yourself at the same time. That's a challenge. Like you can't, your mind actually physiologically cannot multitask. That's like a scientific right. thing now.
I know. So bummed.
Right.
I thought it was like the one thing women were better at than men. And then it was like, nope.
No, you're still better at, you have more connective tissues. It's
okay. Good.
But, I believe it. But yeah, I think for me, look, I think it's cool to, if you do have this like little pinch of like, oh, like, maybe that didn't feel good. I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. Become curious, right? I immediately go, all right, so what's the deal here? Where am I? Why am I feeling like this isn't working for mm-hmm. me? And in the process of working through that and working, right. doing those things, there's not a problem to fix, but I'm looking to essentially fix the problem. I'm looking right. to better myself for now and in the future. And in doing so, it's like, feeling guilty is a conceptualization that's going to hold me back from myself.
Oh, yes. Yes. All right.
I don't need to feel guilty to fix it. Do you want to I definitely made a video about this, but it's like, wouldn't you rather me just get on fixing it? Because people, I think we have this like projection of guilt. It's like, yo, man, you did this thing. Feel yeah. guilty. Yeah. Like, don't do that. Feel guilty. And you're like, all right, but do you want me to just fix it? We can just fix that. And I won't do that again. And I can apologize and we can do all that. Yeah, but like, you got to feel guilty for this long first.
Yeah.
This long now.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever you subjectively feel good is for me to feel guilty about.
It's punishment. Yeah.
It's that, what's his name? Orville, the Orville show with, it's like this Star Trek show that the Family Guy does.
Not me. Wrong audience. Harry Potter only.
Oh, I love Harry Potter.
Okay, great.
He does this episode where the people, and it kind of leads into cancel culture, but like, and everybody's on a sort of a system of like, if somebody sees you doing something wrong, every person in this like theoretical society has to go on this apology tour. Mm-hmm. And if the society votes that you didn't look contrite enough, you didn't, it's like, that's it. They like lobotomize you or whatever in this thing.
Yeah.
And I think we all, it's sort of a mass reflection of like guilt. And right. I find that self-forgiveness will reflect, like, I think America kind of needs to forgive itself first right. and foremost. Because we've taken some L's, right?
Deep. Well, I think you touch on something so brilliant. And before I ask this next question, we're going to throw it to a break real quick. Oh, dear sweet confidante. Do you finally feel like you can take just a little bit deeper of a breath now that we have gotten through this election season? Or do you feel like maybe not at all because now we're coming up with the holidays? Well, listen, if you're feeling stressed or anxious, you know what I'm here to tell you about forever and always. BetterHelp Baby. BetterHelp is a therapy app that matches you with counselors. It's affordable. And, you know, traditional counseling wasn't really for me. I didn't realize online counseling was exactly what I needed to feel comfortable. And the best part is financial aid is available. I know therapy is a privilege. We acknowledge that. But hey, maybe you could get this as a gift for someone this holiday season. Wouldn't that be great? It's a private and safe online environment, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 24 hours. So many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. I want you to start living your happier life today. And as a listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month by visiting BetterHelp.com/CI for Confidently Insecure. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/CI. back to the show. And we're back from that break. I wanted to bring up the idea of trauma associated with leading to a spiritual journey. Because I think what I've seen a lot of is something really traumatic happens to someone, either something that was repressed and they come to terms with, or something that happens later in their life. And then you see them kind of pendulum swing all the way to the other side of like, that like the only way I'm going to fix this trauma is to get very, very spiritual and like be mad at it, like throw plates, but forgiveness, right? Like forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And I'm kind of like, some people don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't know. Like, can you talk maybe a little bit about like trauma leading to such a culture? I don't want to say a culture because it's not a culture, but like trauma leading to such an experience.
Yeah. Can I talk about forgiveness real quick?
Please. First?
So the forgiveness thing, I love the idea of forgiveness being personal, right? There's this like, I guess like a colloquial joint that people say is like, I'm not letting you live in my head rent free. Like, what are you doing, Brett? Like, so for me, it's like, I was taught like, yo man, like forgiveness ain't about you. Like, it isn't about them rather. It's about you. Mm. I'm not going to carry, if we think about it as energetic tension, right?
Okay.
If you think about yourself as sort of this ball of energy and you're, you kind of let your energy go out to this person or thing that you like, don't want to forgive. You're going out your life with that little stick. Like, constantly, and it's just following you. And if we have enough of those, that energy doesn't belong to you. It's not yours anymore. You're just, like, kind of giving it away to all these little things. So for me, forgiving myself and forgiving them allows me to come back into dealing with myself. Because if you're, once again, if we're thinking about that thing, that wrong thing that happened, where are you not being right now?
Right here. Like, so is the answer to spiritual journey mindfulness?
That's really interesting. I don't know if there's so much of an answer, but I think that, you know, mindfulness as a construct, the thing is we're coming into, I think, sort of the issue with what you were pointing to earlier when you're talking about the gentrification of spirituality, and which is to turn spirituality into an external concept that needs to be done. It needs to be, we got to do something.
It's like the opposite of what it's meant to be.
I think it's really more so a non-doing. It's a peeling away of all the junk and coming back to kind of a more natural, authentic state of yourself. So I hesitate to say like, oh, is mindfulness the thing? I think being, if that's a thing, is going to be better, more helpful than even turning it into a concept and even allowing the concept of being to melt into right now.
Right.
I just recorded this video. I think there is the temptation to turn presence into something that needs to be done. Right.
Like
gotta be here now. It's just like,
all
okay,
the time as I can.
It's like, I gotta be here. And it's like, I go on these hikes, and one of my favorite things to do on my hike is to take a moment, because I was noticing like, I gotta get to the end of the waterfall to see the waterfall, and I gotta come back. And it's like, I went at a time where I knew there wouldn't be a lot of people there, and I just stopped. Just stop. We don't take any time to just stop and be with what's happening right now. And not even what's happening, just stop. That's just a tree. And slowly but surely, sort of everything sort of takes on this magical quality. Everything becomes more magnificent, right?
Yes.
And I think that's something that's kind of, if there's a practice, that's kind of one of my favorite things to do, is just like, just be. Let's work on that. I know that's a little weird.
No, that actually sounds a lot better than mindfulness, because again, like, mindfulness can sometimes feel forced. Like, I'm not being mindful. Like, oh, shit, I caught myself, like, daydreaming in a conversation. Like, oh, why can't you pay attention more? Why? And it can be a little bit self-punishing. But, like, when you just said that thing about hiking, like, I went to go get my coffee across the street this morning, and I noticed just on the table that, like, the light was hitting it in a way that created this, like, beautiful prism rainbow. And I was like, look at that beautiful I'm noticing a beautiful prism rainbow.
Immediately.
I'm noticing that I'm happy about noticing a beautiful prism rainbow. And I just went like, meta, 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 meta.
Yes.
And I was like, that made me, that like, not to condo, but like that sparked such a little piece of joy that I was like, okay, this is possible to do kind of like anytime, anywhere. And like when I think people talk about being able to manifest your own happiness, it seems like, oh, you either have this special witch power, or you mm-hmm. can pay a wellness coach to get it, or that like you just don't, you aren't in the space, and like you'll figure it out when something traumatic enough happens to you. When it's like, oh, no, you don't even have to have any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have any of that. And it is just these little miracle-y moments.
Yeah, I would also.
Like, oh, shit.
I'd also say that, like, that, like, that's just. Start making that the home base, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a temptation to go, like, oh, that was this wonderful thing, and now I got to get back to that.
Mm.
It's like when it happens, it'd be like, oh, this is. Oh, right, I'm back home. I'm back to the way it is. So. That starts conditioning yourself to just, because it brings it back to like, oh, this is the way things are supposed to be. Like, this is the
right.
way things are.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the awakening question because
I don't even remember what
that,
I asked, but yes.
You asked about trauma.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
awakening. I'm currently reading a book and I hardcore want to plug it. It's called.
Is it The Body Keeps Score?
No.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Like, that's the one I always hear about.
That's interesting. That's actually interesting. I don't know how I feel about that book, but I'll check it out.
What was the one you were going to say?
It's called The Leap by Steven Taylor.
Okay.
And gosh, I think it's probably one of the most important books like that we're going to have.
Whoa.
It's already big. I mean, Eckhart Tolle did the intro. It's big. It's not something
Whoa.
Small.
I thought Eckhart Tolle was old. Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Oh, good for him.
he's getting in the online space. He got hard during Uh-oh. The quarantine. He's
Uh-oh.
Like upping his content. Like he's in YouTube and shit. Like
he's got like a niece or a nephew or something for sure that's like, Uncle Tolle.
You
we gotta get on. You will die out. You will die without the younger generation knowing
yeah.
your name.
And it's been great. But I think the Leap is a great book. But within the book, he talks about specifically three different kinds of awakenings. The first being like a gradual awakening,
okay.
sort of gradual over time, like not really doing much or anything else. The other one is specifically speaks to the traumatic thing that you were talking about and the idea that something sort of breaks and it's
right.
like this spontaneous like
yeah.
whoa like
right.
insanity, and that's the one I think a lot of us are gonna probably deal with, the idea that these traumatic things, because I think for a lot of us, I can speak for myself definitely,
mm-hmm.
I was in such a sort of cage of
mm-hmm.
of ego that was just it was so wrapped around me that when as an actor, I would say it was super helpful because
mm-hmm.
I got to that sort of point where you like, I don't know why I did that. where you, or I didn't have to work for a while as an actor. Like, sorry,
yeah.
I have a day job. I was just acting. Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I made it. I did it. We did the thing. You call mom. Hey mom,
yeah.
not waiting tables today. And like, I think Jim Carrey says it, like everybody tells you, but like when you feel like you did it and you're like, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Like,
not even close.
Not even a little bit. And I was
like, mountaintop was not even a mountain. It was like a fucking, yeah, it was like a spoon. You're like, this wasn't even a mountain the whole time. What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. And like, yeah, I was, and I think that is, I think that's one of the things that happens is we externally identify so hard. I'm my job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm my race. I'm my mm-hmm. age. I'm my all these things. And they form this sort of cage of beliefs that at some point, if you only know yourself in a relation to these things, it's like, and I don't even think it's like a, I think it's a natural thing for you. You can't sustain that. It's like you've created a cake of made of only icing. Ooh, and it's going to collapse.
That sounds like my ideal cake. Just icing. It's just a tub of icing. But yeah, you can't sustain that. You're
can't sustain that. And I think we all kind of hit that in one way or another. And I think that pendulum, I think that's a great, there's a hermetic, there's this sort of hermetic idea called the principle of rhythm. It's this esoteric mystical thing. But one of the things they talk about is that the pendulum swings kind of in the opposite direction proportionally to how far it was in the other way.
Right, right.
Like everything has a rhythm. And in that rhythm, a lot of people, if you're kind of sort of this sort of whatever, when that trauma hits and you swing, you go to the other side and it's like... And it's a blast of sort of this other thing. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the journey that we all are going to go on is being able to sort of reconcile being sort of human and tactile and being here, being your most authentic self while still realizing that it's not just about the stuff that we can experience with our senses.
Whoa, that's deep. I'm going to attempt to go. See, we're at 45 minutes already. See, I try to keep these fucking things short for you guys, audience. But I'm sorry. This stuff interests me mostly because it scares me. And, like, I try to understand that shit because I realized, like, with my mental health stuff, like, the more I understood chemically what was happening, like, say, during a panic attack, I'm like, that's not really scary. It's just, like, my adrenal glands flushed. It's my adrenaline. Like, you know, I was able to logic into it. And mm-hmm. this kind of conversation sometimes feels like I can't logic into it. And I'm a very emotional person, actually. Like, I'm Leo, double Gemini. So I'm, like, just emotions. Yeah. So my poor partner. But, like, I'm going to try and attempt to have this conversation. But... is there, you know, you had said something like if you're only able to identify with those kind of things that are very like materialistic, like our age or race or like monetary value or our job or whatever, our bank account, like is the step beyond that besides our authentic selves, then like each other? Like, I know there's not a goal, but like, what else is there to kind of like expand yourself into? I tried.
No, that's amazing. I would say that experientially, I think we will all at some point, maybe in another life, we will all at some point realize that you were kind of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the expansion is into, I would say first it's sort of an inwardness going. I think understanding the architecture of this unseen, inward, at times very illogical universe connects us to the expansion of knowing that you are everything. Mm. That there's like not a, there's not really a separation. It's really kind of all in perception. And I think, okay. I think one of the Tao Te Ching talks about this, the first like sort of verse in it is the Tao that can be described is not the enduring and unchanging Tao. The name that can be named is not the enduring and unchanging name.
Fuck is the Tao?
The Tao. It's like this idea. Well, see, it's this, well, you can call it like the God or the universe or whatever, but it's just this kind of, well, that's just it, right? We're talking about what we're talking about. And it's like, it points to also the Judeo-Christian idea of God, which is, it's pronounced Yahweh, which is I am. Uh-huh. It points to a state of being, an indescribable mm-hmm. beingness. So anytime we try to go, this is the thing, this is the whole thing, right? I got it.
Yeah.
It's already, you've already shrunken. You've already shrunken it to this thing. So I think beginning to become okay with being, the nature of being, connects us to everything in a very expansive way. Like, you can say, even from a condo perspective, right? You mentioned that, like, having that sort of respect for everything in your life, right? That sort of begins to extend to people, to stuff. And you see that sort of reflection in, I mean, I can see the reflection of the care that you take in your life right behind you right now. I can see Kelsey everywhere, right? It's beautiful, and it's a direct sort of reflection of your isness. So it's, I think, yeah, I think going in and becoming curious about that internal architecture will manifest as how you relate to everything.
Yeah, and that then goes into the like the idea of like time, right? Like that is like a clusterfuck of trying to understand then like what is this purpose on this life? Like, are we experiencing consciousness in this life because it is like, why this one over other ones, I guess? So what do you think happens when we die?
I get that all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, in my last few followers, like, what happens when you die? What happens when you die?
What do you say?
I say almost like routinely, I always say, like, I don't care. Not that you don't care, but it's going to happen. Not that I don't care, but I got too much shit to do right now. Like, I get, like, that sort of idea of, like, what happens when you die, then it's like, I don't.
You're already putting it in the future, which is, like, already putting it
in the future. It's already this thing that's, like, you know what? And honestly, if we had 3 hours, we could talk about past lives,
right,
fucking
right.
Reincarnate, yeah. All that.
Time is a circle.
But I prefer to deal with what's happening now. I actually naturally sort of lean in that sort of woo-woo, mystical, weird direction personally.
Right.
I, thank God, have surrounded myself with, either consciously or unconsciously, with people who are incredibly grounded. Like all of my teachers, my fiance is like the exact opposite of me. So she's very like very grounded in this reality and things like that. All of my teachers, like one of my teachers, she like did Buddhism for like a little bit and she's like, nah, I got this. Like all they're very grounded. So it keeps me dealing with what is, because if left to my own devices, I'll be talking about Syrian starseed weird shit for days.
But I think that I'm going to attempt to wrap up because we're at 52 minutes now.
For sure.
But like, I think what you're talking about there, like this idea of going too woo woo off the handle can lead to, and I don't know if you really believe in this term, but like a spiritual emergency where like I've, you know, in my life, had a lot of intimacy with people who have experienced spiritual emergency. And like, even understanding that that's what that word was, where it's almost like an overload.
Yeah. It's too much. It's
an overload of like consciousness or expanding.
Dune is coming out pretty soon with Timothy
Chalamet. Hallelujah.
Oh, heaven. Right. He's just great. But there, in that, there's this spiritual sort of awakening that he has where he turns into the Quasarch Satarak. And it's like this idea that he gets all these consciousnesses with him at once. And he has access to them all the time.
It's too much.
It drives him crazy. And I would recommend to anybody, see, once again, like demystifying spirituality, anybody that is sort of or has experienced a spiritual emergency, read the Dune trilogy, the first three books.
Wow.
They explore this idea because it goes even deeper into like he has kids who are like 7 with access to this stuff. So the kids like 7 going on 700. And I've personally experienced those things where I've had those days where it was just like the universe is getting pressed into your mind.
Right.
And you really can't, and it feels overwhelming. I will say once again, back to like the grounding forces right. that are in my life.
Yes. And I think like, sorry to cut you off, but like, I think that that's where support in this kind of situation is so important, because I do think someone that can say like, dog, go do your fucking thing. Go dance in the fucking stars for all I give a shit. Snort the clouds. Like, go for it. I want you to be the best self. But having someone to be like, unfortunately, we live in a society where you have to have a job and make money, and you have to abide by certain like social norms and that, and like you can't take your clothes off and like dance in fire. Like, we have to come back here to grounding. I don't know if like that's maybe I got too esoteric in the way that I described what exactly that is, but
no, I think that was exactly spot on. And this is sort of later in my journey. I had such a spiritual emergency one time that I literally never seen a psychic in my life. I was like, I got to go see somebody. Because I was like, this was, I dipped into that realm of like, this may be a psychosis thing. I already had, I knew it wasn't that. But like, I was like, I need to speak to somebody.
Oh, great.
Who could, and I'd never seen a psychic. But I went and pretty much she gave me a reading that was exactly what happened to me.
Wow.
So I was like, she's like, you're
great.
Good. Just you're good. You're good. You're fine. You already know what the deal is. Cause
wow,
I gave her a pretty
comforting.
Yeah. Well, I gave her a pretty lengthy explanation about like what I thought was happening. And she's like, yeah, just go back and be fine. But I just wanted to make like, sometimes you just need that little extra to be like
reassurance or validation or
exactly. And confidence. I definitely kind of needed that day. So yeah, I'd say definitely reach out if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, because it can
be. Yeah. And I think like, noticing that, like, I think what happened to me was not personally, but like I saw all of that and I went, okay, any of this deep dive is dangerous now, because I've seen where it's overtaken and become and controlled. And I'm like, okay, nope, we just cut everything off, like crystals out of the house, fucking anything out of the house, we're out of the house.
For sure.
And then now, you know, as I'm becoming more in tune, like I joke that like my friend who just moved into our apartment complex is a witch, and I always joke like her shit's rubbing off on me, but really I think like I'm just starting to really become in a place where I can awaken to that, that stuff that is inside of me. That I'm like slowly dipping my toes back into the water, and like maybe to round out this whole conversation, that's what I really like about your TikToks, is that like you make it digestible, you make it relatable, and you're not afraid to also sprinkle in this stuff that's like maybe people might look at and go like, oh wait, I don't get that one. That one was too fucking left field, or like that was too weird. But like, let me Google what he just said, or like, let me just like get curious, as like, you know, my and your mantras apparently seem to be like,
hey.
Spoiler alert, that's kind of like it for everything, is like,
it's curiosity,
how to get to a non-judgmental place. So wow, okay, I really didn't mean to talk for this long, but we could keep going for a hot minute.
You're right.
Yeah, but I would love for you to tell people how they can hear more about what you have to say. And I know like you're not here to teach people how to find their spiritual journey, but I think even just like giving a little bit of something for people to go like, oh, that speaks to me, I want more, tell us.
Yeah, obviously you can find me on TikTok and Instagram as Motivational Speaker. YouTube's coming. That'll be fun. Uh-oh. Explore some other content, be able to put people in touch with resources that I think are helpful, which
that's
will be fun.
Really important.
But overall, man, and I think to simplify the whole thing for me, because there's a lot of junk out there, there's a lot of stuff. I like to just remember it's like my imaginal experience gives life to all of it. Like, before the crystal works, why does the crystal work? You imagined that it did, right? You have to imagine. It all sort of, it's going to be coming back to you. It's all about that internal experience, subjective experience, and becoming curious as to what that looks like for you. There's going to be a lot of people saying this is the thing, but I think becoming curious as to what your intuition leads you to And exploring that, I think, is probably one of the most helpful things you can do for yourself, because that's going to keep doing it.
Trust your gut. Trust your gut. I feel like that's like the basis of all things. Like,
you have an amazing voice. What was that? Like, are we... What are we...
I'm just talking to you. I told you I love musical theater. David, thank you so much. You're so rad. I know we're going to stay in touch now, and I know you live in LA and it doesn't matter because of the quarantine, but when things are lifted, we are going to have to do this again in person and go do a bunch of weird, witchy crystal shopping or some shit.
Totally.
That would be a cool Saturday. All right, David, yeah. Thanks so much. Thanks for being on here, Confidants. We will see you next week.